Let's have some rugby league.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Greatness is never unintentional. It does not arrive by chance or seek out one special person to exist within. Greatness is a decision to get up in the darkest hours, to put foot before foot
again and again.
In solitude and servitude to a goal that lies deep within.
Greatness is earned.
Through practice, through pain,
through repetition.
It does not arrive in an instant, but creeps upon us slowly, like a rising sun,
in which every minute matters. Because it is not one moment or one achievement.
Rather, it is an accumulation.
Not of how much you have,
but of how much you have given. Greatness is never unintentional.
So have great intentions, for this is our time.
And know that you need not look for it, for you are close to greatness.
And the only obstacle you must truly overcome is yourself.
This is our time.
It's all about skill, passion and energy. Was he impressed? That was a good impression then, wasn't it?
Well, in rehearsals.
I've been working on it.
By the way, that was a brand new Super League advert for the forthcoming season. It's entitled This Is Our Time. Johnny Vegas is on there, amazingly.
Why have they got him on it?
Celebrity fan.
Yeah, so's Ryan Giggs. Why has he not been on it?
I don't know. But we had Dennis Betts on there.
We had Dennis Betts, yeah. He was his usual self, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
Passionate. We're going to hear from Dennis Betts very shortly, by the way, after witness. Well, weren't that impressive in the pre-season friendly against Halifax.
They came out of it with a draw, though.
Richard Marshall's men, they made a better game of it than what we expected. And witness were really tested, as Dennis Betts suggested and admitted during his pre-match, post-match press conference.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still in pre-season myself.
Yeah, well, you know, we're not paying homage.
Rusty.
We're not paying any homage to any Leeds players this week, so we're all right.
Yeah.
And you'll be pleased to hear that I've managed to find the sat nav, so I know my difference between me Normantons and me, whoever it was that I got mixed up with last week.
Can't remember.
I can't remember either. I've slept since then a few times. But yes, it is our time. It is the Final Hooter. This is, of course, myself, Dave Parkinson, and Adrian Jackson, your horse with the most.
This is play your cards right.
Well, you never know. I was seeing you chucking those passes around in the car park. You've still not lost it, mate.
Play pre-season friendlies took place last weekend. We've already mentioned witness, but we're going to go into more detail with that one. But St. Helens, they kicked their game off at 6:30 due to heavy snow in St. Helens. So they kicked off at 6:30 and defeated Dewsbury 38-18. Hull FC defeated Doncaster 46-12. Huddersfield won quite convincingly 38-6 against Hull Kingston Rovers. And suppose the shock of the friendlies was that they defeated Wigan 26-20, and we had the draw between Barrow and Workington.
I don't know whether it was much of a surprise, really, with Lee beating Wigan. In some respects, yeah, you could say so. But, you know, Wigan probably had about 6 or 7 regular first-teamers. The likes of Anthony Gellin played, Sam Powell played, Oliver Gildart, who finished the end of last season. We had Lewis Tierney stepping up to play full-back for Wigan. And for Lee, it gave them a chance to give the likes of Rangi Chase, Harrison Hanson, Corey Patterson a debut, Dane Weston also got in there, and a former Australian test player in Willie Tonga as well. It was a bit of a slow start, to be honest, for the Centurions, and Wigan really did well in the opening 20 minutes. He scored three tries without reply, but Lee gradually got on top and ended up winning quite well in the end, controlling the second half, which was good to see by the majority of the 4,600 crowd.
You mentioned Willie Tonga. From a witness point of view, did Willie Isa get a run out for the Cherry and White?
He did, yeah. They played him at second row, actually.
Oh, okay.
And then he moved up and had a second spell at
prop. No way.
He did.
Wow.
He moved up and had a stint at prop.
And he put that much weight on, has he?
No. He still looked the same, did Willie? You know, got round. And, you know, I think he'll be an asset for Wigan, without a doubt. Initially, he wasn't listed on the team that Wigan said they were bringing. So I think it was a late decision to actually drop him in there.
To put him proper, they'd be filling him out on the pies.
But, I mean, to be honest, he played a lot down the middle at Widnes last year, didn't he? Well, he did, really, because he was playing that loose forward position right in the middle of the field, and you can't say that he plays the old fashioned ball playing loose forward type of role, can you? He's a bustling, hustling forward, really.
Well, we're talking about Lee and Wigan, let's hear from Paul Rowley, shall we?
I just think it gives us a platform to build. I think both coaches will be the same. There were some positive things and a lot of stuff to work on as well, so I don't think the game had any real intensity to it or desperation, but I thought there were some things we'd identified early in pre-season which we achieved. Our structure and shape looked real good. Our execution was poor at times. So, but if that's the last thing, if that's the only thing that we're worried about at this point, then that's a big plus for us, because we'll nail that through practice. So, just a good benchmark and a good platform for us as staff to get our teeth into. And work hard, and the boys will work hard as a result of that. No surprises, you know. Corey Patterson for me offered what I knew he would. He's that third middle for us that has got a pass and got good vision. He's a little bit more than just your bog standard prop, if you like. No disrespect to bog standard props either, but and then H give us what we would expect. He has no handbrake or reverse gear, does he? Just goes hard. So no, they're all good, all fitted in well. It's all right. It's a good start point. Like I say, I don't think it was a great game at all. I don't think anybody was great, but they got through, and it's been pleasing for different objectives, like you say, return from injury for a block of players, and debuts for another block, and just getting out there and getting some much needed minutes into some people. Like Fui looks like a different animal this year, looks far fitter, and that's credit to him, and it's been good. We've worked hard all pre-season, so it's good to get the first game under the belt. Hopefully Ryan Brealey will get some game time next week, so I think he's probably 2 or 3 weeks ahead of schedule, so he's been brilliant, really. He's worked hard, and he's reacted to treatment. From my point of view, I just take the lead of the physios, who are brilliant at this club. And, when they say he's fit, he's fit. So, again, there's no rush. It'll be similar. Won't be too dissimilar to that. Obviously, we went with three hookers and four centres today, which is quite hard to manage. So, whether we'll reduce that or not, I'm not sure yet. But, to be fair, I've not overthought that one. We'll just take it as it comes and... we're more interested in what as a group, what we need to improve and fix up on.
Not impressing the game. That was a game that was branded the Battle of the Borough, wasn't it?
It was. Correct? It was, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. And it's
only back in the day, I was just thinking during that, Lee fans just get upset when Widnes and Warrington fans would be chanting, just a small town in Wigan.
Yeah, I'd still get upset. Right.
Why call it the Battle of the Borough then?
Because
you're a small town in Wigan.
Because we share the same borough. It happens.
Small town in Wigan.
Yeah, hey. That's fighting talk where I'm from.
Right, headphones off, let's go for it. Yeah, he's obviously talking about the game ahead on Sunday when Warrington take on the mighty Lee Centurions.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Not least because of the fact that it's Grixie's testimonial, isn't it?
It is. Congrats to Simon Grix, yeah.
And he's had a stellar career, really, at Warrington. Could have had so many more games as well, but for his sad luck through injuries.
How unlucky has that guy been?
He really must have missed about 100 games, or 100 extra games that he could have played. But what a servant he's been to Warrington, and it's nice to see that he's going to be continuing his career with Halifax. But, yeah, Paul Rowley alluded to it there, that Ryan Brierley wasn't actually expecting to take part in any games for the Centurions until probably sometime in mid-March. So for him to come back, he's a good 2 or 3 weeks ahead of schedule, and just shows, you know, how much he looks after himself. And I'm sure that after his performance last year against Warrington in the Cup, he'll be coming back looking to make amends and looking to do more, because I think he impressed a lot of people, didn't he, as Lee did in that Challenge Cup tie.
I'm sure he did, didn't he? But yeah, it's all about Simon Grix on Sunday. Game kicks off at 3. If you're in the hospital, sadly, you can't get there. You'll hear the game live on Radio General.
It's David Butch. Yeah,
he'll be there.
He'll be bringing you blow for blow coverage.
He will be, yeah. Tickets still available if you want to get to the game, by the way. Obviously, some hospitality tickets still available at £30 as well. Tickets starting off in the North Stand at £20 for adults, £5 for juniors, and in the East, South and West Stand, which is standing, at £15, £10 and £5.
That's a bargain, considering that you're paying that towards a testimonial fund, are you?
Yeah, you can get all the details of Simon Grix's testimonial events as the year goes on by going on all the www.simongrix.co.uk. The next event, by the way, is a testimonial gala dinner at the Fairgrove Hotel, which is on Saturday, the 6th of February. You get to meet Simon and a collection of Warrington players. Tickets are just £55. And includes that all-important three-course meal.
Does this mean that you get your dicky bow out?
Might do.
Oh, right, okay.
Bit of live music. I ain't going to sing.
Please don't.
No, I won't. But yeah, good event, and that's Saturday the 6th of February.
Have Warrington given any indication of what sort of team they're going to play?
Not yet.
At the moment.
No.
It's a little bit early in the week, isn't it?
A bit early in the week. And you can't use that as an excuse. Well, I need to have a lion to go to the game on Sunday, because Warrington play on Thursday away to Leeds. So no excuses not to be there.
Definitely not, no. No, and you know, that means that after that friendly, of course, we're only a couple of weeks away from the start of the Super League season, and you touched on it there. It all kicks off over at Headingley, doesn't it?
For Warrington, it
for Warrington.
Tough opening. For Widnes, it's all about Wakefield away on the Sunday.
On the Sunday, isn't it?
Does, yeah. So if I go there on Saturday, it will be definitely an early night, because it's being Wakefield.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah. So Widnes will be hoping to get off to a winning start and make Gary Schofield, and he said Barlow then, that's because we were on the bar in earlier on. Yeah, give mate Gary Schofield the humble pie in round one of Super League 21. Super League 21, happy birthday Super League.
Happy birthday Super League. Did you think it had reached 21 years of age over at Paris on that night when it started?
No chance. I thought they'd only live to about 3.
And then they'd be back playing in winter.
Playing winter rugby league and part-time rugby.
Although, to be honest, we are back playing winter rugby league, aren't we? Because the season always starts early February and it's usually snowed somewhere. I mean, we saw that with the friendlies this weekend, because of the heavy snowfall across northern Britain, it sort of put
who
paid to a lot
not
of them.
Grim up north.
Exactly, but we love it anyway. Forget your northern powerhouse.
Yeah, it's bizarre. There's only on about this at Widnes on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
How we brand Super League now as a summer sport,
yeah.
But yet we kick it off in the middle of winter. Yeah.
Really, we should call it a sport for all seasons, shouldn't we? Because it is. You play it in winter, you play it spring, you play it summer, you play it in autumn.
I mean, having said that, if you think back 21 years ago when we first started, you had Steve-O and Eddie saying it's all going to be razzmatazz, barbecues, short sleeve, T-shirts, shorts, you name it, it's going to be happening. With the weather we get these days, there's no way you turn up at a game in a T-shirt and a pair of shorts. You certainly couldn't have a barbecue.
Not at this time of year. Not unless you wanted something extremely hot on your barbecue.
Not even in the summer, because it just rains.
Well, yeah, we did have one of the wettest summers on record.
Exactly.
Last time out, didn't we?
I can't imagine going to Halliwell Jones and having a barbecue in the weather we get these days.
You never know. Have they tried it? Have they tried having the barbecue? Have the health and safety people been on?
I don't know. I have to clear it with them.
See, I'll be heading.
Trust you to get your high vis vest on.
Oh.
Start talking health and safety.
Sorry.
Health and safety.
Can't help it. It's bred into me.
Next, we'll be having players wearing it on night games so you can see them on the pitch.
Actually, if you'd seen that Wigan away shirt, they look like they were in high vis.
Is it that bad?
It is, yeah. It's luminous green. I think everybody's gone for a bit of luminous in their away strip this season.
Is that the new grey?
I think it must be.
Or the new black.
The new black. Mm. Definitely cool.
So bring your happy 21st birthday to Super League. It kicks off with Warrington away to Leeds, Widnes away to Wakefield, and hopefully a win for both of our teams.
Oh, definitely, yeah, yeah. Gary Schofield, he's already ticked Widnes to finish bottom, hasn't he?
He has, hasn't he? But he's always biased towards Yorkshire teams.
I don't know, because all he said is that they're going to drop another three places than where they finished last season. So is that such a loss?
Can't say that around Kevin Brown, because he'll want to bop you on the nose.
Nah.
Gets upset, does Kevin, when he hears those kind of comments.
He's all right. He's a good hair-dot lad, he's Kev.
So it all starts with Warrington again. The boys are back from Tenerife, so I don't think they've appreciated the cold weather they've come back to. Over the last couple of days in Warrington, but I'm sure Andrew Johns will be putting them through the paces and they'll get them ready and raring to go with a victory against Lee in honour of Simon Griggs.
You know what I really like? I like the fact that he's been involved as Johns with that pre-season of Warrington's, because, I mean, when you look at it, although, yes, it was probably the biggest signing that Super League had, he only played, what was it, two or three games that
three
he ended
matches,
up...
but it was a magical 4 weeks.
Three matches.
It was magical.
Three matches.
Listen, I went to the unveiling of the guy at the Halliwell Jones Stadium one balmy summer afternoon, and I swear there was that many people outside the ground waiting for him to turn up. It was like a Hollywood movie star had come to town.
Nobody made...
It's unbelievable.
Nobody made this much fuss when Warrington had Alfie Langer for 2 years.
Not exactly.
I mean, there was a good player as well, another good halfback,
and that night, it was one of them ones where just people walking around once and saying, have we really signed Andrew Johns? And it only really came reality when the Warrington team ran out against Leeds on that Friday night and Andrew Johns come running out in the Warrington kit.
I do remember that particular night in Super League.
It was
a wonderful occasion for Warrington, wasn't it?
The atmosphere was electric.
The stadium was packed. Warrington played some scintillating stuff and Johns was at the hub of everything, wasn't he?
He was. It may have only been three games, but it was a fantastic ride.
If only Chris Sandow had had the same impact last season.
Well, that's a big ask to live up to them standards. But I'm sure we'll see the best of Chris Sandow once the season gets going. Now he's had a full pre-season behind him.
And to be fair as well, I was very impressed with Kurt Gidley when the other pre-season friendly that Warrington had played against Widnes. I thought he was really, really good. He only played about 45 minutes of that one, but controlled the game. And Warrington themselves, have you now seen that video, by the way, Adrian?
Not yet.
The one that this is our year.
All right, okay.
They do. They're actually saying this is our year.
Could be.
You never know. Could be.
Could be. But yeah, it looks like with the way Kurt Gidley's coming to form and the way he's controlling it and being the playmaker, it looks like Kurt Gidley's going to be partnering in Chris Sandow, barring any injuries, which looks like Stefan Ratsradu. Everyone thought might have been pushed up to the standoff role with Richie Miller going to the south of France. Looks like he's going to have to put up with fullback again.
To be fair, though, I mean, he's a very...
Or loose forward or centre.
He's a very good fullback, isn't he? And like you've just touched on there, he is possibly the most versatile player that I have seen playing Super League. He's a player that I admire greatly, to be honest, Stefan Ratchford, and he was never far away from being Warrington's best performer. Interesting to note as well that your mate Chris Hill has been given the captaincy, hasn't he, this year?
Bit of Captain Chris.
Did you have a word in his shell, like?
No.
No?
No.
I'm surprised. Maybe over the next few weeks, eh?
Obviously, yes, I will be.
And but you'll be passing on your experience of that captaincy role.
See, I was thinking about, Stefan Ratsford before he went away.
All right, sorry.
So I think Stefan Ratsford, for me, this year, needs to just decide on one position and stick with it.
To be fair, it depends what the coach wants, doesn't it?
No, if
the
coach wants, matter what the coach
no,
wants.
No, if the coach no, wants does, to play him does. And move him around the back line, that is the coach's prerogative, isn't it?
If I was Stefan Ratchford, I'd be kicking the door down saying, listen, one position and one position only, I'm not playing.
Hey, you know what happens if he does that? He'll be shipped out.
Get online with Radio General.
www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
Radio General Online has information about the station's presenters, along with our current programme schedule and details of how to make requests for patients in Warrington Hospital. There's also plenty of background information about Radio General, including our long history of broadcasting in Warrington.
Radio General Online.
www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League.
This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
This is the Final Hooter on Radio General. Put my mic up, shall we? Yeah, thinking about the 80s rugby, I mentioned it, it's the glory years of rugby. That's only because you had loads of competitions to play for.
This is only because you grew up and you were an 80s kid, really.
I was an 80s kid, all right. The grounds weren't that good, great to play at, but hey, some exciting rugby league that was played, some fantastic tries. It was still rough and tough. You had the Biff, you had the Bash, great tries, loads of tournaments to play for. There was something for everybody.
Did this have anything to do with Widnes' success in that?
No, because in the early 80s, Widnes were all right. Then they lost away in the middle 80s.
What about the late 80s, though?
Late 80s,
I mean, that was a fantastic period in Widnes' history.
That was a good ride for Widnes fans, it's got to be said. But there were other teams that were winning trophies as well. Like even Warrington was successful.
Okay, didn't they win the Regal Trophy?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had all the big-name Australians coming over, not just on the Aussie tours, but coming over and playing, Malmeninga for St Helens.
I remember Andrew Ettinghausen for Leeds.
E.T. for Leeds, Eric Groth.
Eric Groth as well, he did, didn't he?
We just brought Steve Rogers over.
Well, he was still a good player at that time. Dale Shearer, there you go. I mean, very good player. Who was it Warrington had? Blake?
We brought Noel Cleal over as well.
Noel Cleal ended up at Hull as coach.
Stint with Hull, yeah.
Really? Yeah. But who was it Warrington had? Was it Blake? He was a standoff that scored a lot of tries. Was it Phil Blake?
Phil Blake.
Yeah, I mean, he was a player and a half, wasn't he? And, of course, they brought the great Bob Jackson and Brian...
No relation to me, by the way.
No. And Brian Johnson as well, who sadly passed away just the other week, but what service he gave to Warrington.
I remember the guy at Wigan as well, Brett Kenny. You remember him?
Brett Kenny, yeah, came across for a season, dominated that 1985.
Peter Sterling for Hull FC
Challenge Cup final. You got like your Lulies as well of the world, yeah. Didn't you? Was a big test star as well.
Because like when we bring Aussies over and New Zealanders over, I never even heard of half of them, to be honest.
Well, had you heard of Corey Thompson before he signed for Widnes?
No.
What about any others? What about, is it Houston? Chris Houston, who they signed?
No.
We'd heard of Kurt Gidley signing for Warrington.
Yeah, but I've never seen him play. I knew of his brother at Saints, but that's as good as it gets for him, I'm afraid.
See, I love our in-depth knowledge of rugby league.
Right. Yeah, but the thing is, right, they're trying to introduce this marquee signing.
Okay, the marquee signing.
A superstar signing. But with the money your Jonathan Thurstons and your Billy Slaters and your Cooper Cronks of the world are earning in Australia, there's no way a British club could bring them over for a year or two. So it looks like to get them guys over, we're going to have to do what we did in the 80s and pay him to play for like 12 matches. Like, say, Wally Lewis, he got over a grand a match at Wakefield. Can you imagine Wakefield signing a Wally Lewis of the world these days?
No, I can't, actually.
Exactly.
No. They might sign a Wally Gibson or someone like that who we've never heard of.
Exactly. They had Wally Lewis for 12 matches or so.
I think it was 8, wasn't it? It was 8 matches, wasn't it, that he played? I mean, a fantastic...
A grand a match.
At that stage, that was a lot of money. I mean, it sounds like a lot of money now, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
But crikey, you know, back then it was even more. And
Probably knew where Wakefield was when he come over on the tours and he go into a test match at Leeds and it says Wakefield next junction.
He knew plenty about Wakefield when he left.
He certainly did, he earned a daft amount of money.
Yeah, they were great times, and they were a great time for innovation within the sport as well, weren't they? I mean, rugby league has always been one of the great innovative type sports around, hasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly has. So yeah, good times, but then the days have gone. It's all about now. We play for two cups and it's dominated by the top four teams. There you go.
Hopefully we'll see more and more teams in the eights starting to make their grade as well.
And we don't really see the tours anymore. And okay, we had New Zealand over for a month at the end of the last season, but you don't get the great Australians coming over and playing 15 club games and 3 test matches.
Hang on there, Adrian, though, because with Malmeninga just stepping up to become test coach of Australia, he wants to return to the touring days. I don't know how they'll fit it in, but he wants Australian teams to come over here to England to play the best of the Super League and other representative games. So he's after a return of the tour. We haven't seen a tour over here since 94, have we?
Quick question.
Go on.
Who was the last team to beat the Australians in this country?
The last team to beat the Australians in this country.
Last British team.
Wasn't a Wigan, was it?
No.
No. Was it Widnes?
It was Widnes.
See, you dropped that one in there.
Yeah.
Who scored the winning try?
Mick George.
Hey, see?
No, Laura wasn't there.
There is nothing that this fella does not know. In fact, well, there's plenty, but, you know, we won't go
there. I was there on my dad's shoulders in the old cow shed, plenty of Widnes fans on the other end of the ground. And I remember Mick George scorching over to score the try.
Heady days, eh?
Warrington also beat him that year, but Widnes more famous for being the last team to do it.
But proper tours. We want them back, don't we?
Bring them back.
Bring them back, that's what we say.
Okay, speaking of legends within the game, Dennis Betts was just about starting his career in the 80s, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think it was about 87, 88, wasn't it, when he got going at Wigan?
He certainly was. A great servant as well. Still knocking around in the game as head coach of Widnes. A bit disappointed on Sunday after the 18-0 draw against Wakefield, though. Let's hear from him.
Disappointed at the end with some of our decision-making for anything else, except got a chance to win the game. I thought it was a really good work out, if I'm honest. It's what... We looked a little bit rusty at times with the ball. Just expected a little bit more composure, and it just got that way that it turned into a bit of a farce towards the end, and we just lost all control. We won the game twice and gave it away, but as a exercise, as a pre-season game, I thought it was Halifax were a real good test. It was big, they were strong, they worked really hard. And like I said, they got some energy off the fact that we kept making mistakes. They got some energy off the decisions that went their way, discipline wise. Again, I was pleased with lots of things that we did today. Good 40 minutes from Kev, good 80 minutes from Joe Mellor. Tom Gilmore was good in the second half, I thought. Both the nines looked dangerous at times. Front row rolled it. Again, they were still short of a couple of positions, but what we got today was a real good workout. And at that 14-0 for 60 minutes, I was pretty pleased. The issue again was about we lost a little bit of contact. We were getting off too quick. They controlled the ruck, whether it be the fact that the referee let them or didn't. They actually controlled the ruck a lot better than we did today at Big Foul Zone. I think we wanted to play too quick. Just wanted to get the ball moving and get some energy into the game. And they were trying to suck it out of the game, which was good from their point of view. To keep the ball out, they wanted to be in a static game at times, and just we were trying to get some tempo in it, and it probably gave them some energy. I thought they played well, thought they were good. For 60 minutes, I had probably like out of my top 25, I had also, apart from Ed Chamberlain and there, a good bunch of top 25ers, and it's 14-0 with a couple of opportunities, good defensive efforts. The last 15 minutes, there's Brad Walker's out there, Jay Johnson's out there, Jay Tapalow's out there. It's a bit of a mix and match with McGrath having to go into the back row. It was a bit of a mix and a match, but it's good workout for everybody today.
It was a good workout. And I'm sure Halifax enjoyed it better than Widnes, who Dennis couldn't even remember who he played because he said Wakefield at the start of that.
Yeah, are you sure he said Wakefield?
Let's have a listen again.
Was it not you?
No. Listen.
Disappointed at the end with some of our decision making, for anything else, except got a chance to win the game. I thought it was a really good workout, if I'm honest. It's what we looked a little bit rusty at times with the ball. Just expected a little bit more composure, and it just got that way that it turned into a bit of a...
He did say it.
A bit of a farce towards the end.
I've not heard it.
We just lost all control. We won the game twice and gave it away. But as a exercise...
I don't think he said it.
As a pre-season game, I thought it was... Halifax were a real good test.
Halifax, I thought he'd name-checked Halifax in there. It was you.
Wakefield.
You name-checked Wakefield in your roundup before.
Are you trying to say I'm an amateur?
No, not at all. I know how professional you are. I know how much you put into it. It was just a play on words because you knew that Widnes were going to play against Wakefield in the first round of Super League.
We're going to hear from a guy now who last week, Dennis Betts, has said could go on, his words, not mine, could go on to be the best number nine in Super League.
Really?
He's just signed a new 2-year deal. Takes him up to the end of 2018. It's Lloyd White. Let's hear from him right now, shall we? Lloyd, mate, before we talk about the game, let's talk about your new deal. New 2-year deal, you must be happy with that.
Yeah, very happy. You know, it's a bit more security, and you know, the club's shown faith in me, giving me another contract, and you know, I'm happy to stay here.
And it's really praising you by saying you could be potentially probably turn out to be the best number nine in Super League. No pressure.
Oh, exactly. No, it's kind words from him. You know, hopefully I can live up to his words, yeah.
Just looking at the pre-season friendly, obviously you're not happy with the result, but you must be happy just to get it out of the way and get the game done and dusted.
Yeah, well, you know, it's another game ticked off. Plus, you know, getting rid of some cobwebs, I suppose, but you know, we need to be better than that. And you know, St Helens is going to be another big challenge for us next week, and we need to step up our game.
Certainly Halifax were a handful today, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, you know, they always are. You know, wouldn't expect anything less from them. They're a tough team to break down, and you know, they showed it again today. Yeah.
How do you feel witness went during those 8 minutes though?
You know, there's a lot of up and downs, you know, there's a lot of things to work on, but you know, we did show a few good things as well.
I suppose that's a good thing about pre-season. It's all about knowing where you are, then working out where to put it right.
Yeah, exactly. That's this is what it's about, isn't it? You know, learning where to work on and where we're okay at, I suppose.
Plenty of youngsters out there as well, so I suppose for them guys who may not be involved in the first team next year, it's a good experience to play open age rugby.
Yeah, definitely. It's only good experience for them to get on the pitch with us and, you know, see what it's all about, really. You know, it just make them want it a bit more.
Overall, you're more than happy with the way pre-season's going?
Yeah, it's always going well. It's long. Yeah. I think it feels like it gets longer every year, but you know, it's good. We've all worked hard, so we're looking forward to the start of the season now.
Good atmosphere, and the new guys settled in well as well?
Yeah, they've all settled in well to the team. You know, they're all good boys, so yeah, it's good.
Got the draw today. It's going to be a tougher test next week against St Helens, though, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely Super League opposition, and you know, top 14 are always up there. So you know, these are the teams we want to be playing at and seeing how we go.
Gonna be a good test against St Helens, isn't it? The Crawlers Cup is up for grabs,
and it's a competition that Widnes usually do quite well in. They usually give St Helens a good run for the money, don't they?
You watch Jack Owens have a blinder for St Helens.
Yeah, well, interesting to note that Kieran Cunningham, their coach, has said he can't believe that he's been able to sign Jack Owens, saying that you know, he reckons that he could really make the step up and play fullback for St Helens, which was a real problem position for him last year, wasn't it?
He had plenty of chances at Widnes, it's got to be said. Didn't do himself any favours with the mistakes he made.
I think they kept playing him on the wing, though, and he was never a winger.
No. Oh, well, it's Widnes' loss and probably St Helens' game, going off what Kieran Cunningham said. But you watch him have a blinder on Sunday.
He probably will, won't he?
You watch him have a blinder. Anyway, you won't hear that game live on Radio General, by the way. It's at Lantry Park. Our thoughts and opinions will be at the Halliwell Jones Stadium in Warrington, take on Lee Centurions. They're not playing for the Locker Cup or the A&B Cup.
The A&B Cup, there was
that was Widnes and Lee,
a pre-season feisty affair, wasn't it?
The Locker Cup was with Warrington and Wigan.
Warrington and Wigan, yeah. They were usually really full-blooded affairs as well, weren't they?
Yeah, so good to see the Vince Crawless, or Kralius, as famous Eddie Waring used to call him.
But it's Crawless, isn't it?
Definitely Crawless.
Definitely
take
Crawless.
Take it from me, it's Crawless.
Yep. Yeah.
Good to see his name being remembered by both of his teams.
Excellent. Yeah, it's what it's all about, isn't it?
Certainly is. We heard Dennis Betts and we've heard Lloyd White talking about Widnes' hard fought game against Halifax in the draw. The Widnes were leading that one stage 14, so they've been disappointed to have conceded 3 tries in the final 10 minutes of that game. Then the try that levelled it for Halifax. Widnes thought they won the game with a try by Paddy Flynn just to settle the nerves. But as it was Halifax who finished the strongest, and Widnes switched off and came up with a try that settled it for Halifax to get a well-deserved draw. And we caught up with former Warrington assistant Richard Marshall, who was, as you'd expect, quite happy. Wow, Richard Marshall's friendly's goal. What a performance from Halifax.
Yeah, it was up there. You know, we're pleased to get a game ahead and out of the way, and physically we've come through pretty well. First half we weren't great, Widnes were, and but second half we thought we took them to task at times, and to level the game at the end was probably a fitting result for us.
Good experience for you guys to play a Super League club as well and come away with a spoil of the game as well.
Yeah, we had a taster in the middle eights. We know what it's all about, and you know, and it sort of whets your appetite for the following season. And you know, Widnes are strong. They've recruited really well, but as have we, you know, and we had some young boys there in the second half. Widnes had a young team out, and as did we, to be fair. But everybody showed up really well. So I'm going away as a pleased coach today.
Good team effort. But I was impressed with the youngster Johnson at the back.
Yeah, Jono's he's a fair player. He can play pivot, he can play fullback, play anywhere. And yeah, and I think he's got a bit of developing to do, his body, and we can do a little bit more work with him. But you know, he's got someone like Will Sharp at the side of him who's very experienced and strong player in his own right, and had a really good goal for us today.
I suppose a pleasing aspect as well at this stage is you weren't willing to throw the towel in, you fought to the end as well.
Yeah, and as long as you've got that attitude, you're probably going to go well, hopefully. We'd like to have got a couple of scores on the board early as well. That wasn't the case. The Widnes defence was very good in the first half, but we managed to break that in the second half. And as long as you're fighting to the last minute, you know, we kicked the ball short after our try and managed to get it back again, and that helped us as well to finish on a real positive.
Brilliant match, your first pre-season friendly. You showed a lot of energy without sounding like Dennis Betts. Sandy, like, you had a lot of energy out there as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of energy for us. You know, that's what you want this time of the season. Players have, you know, they've been curled up for 4 months. You know what I mean? So you know, they're desperate to get out there and stake a claim. We've got a large squad this year, so there's a lot of players who are going to have to perform at the best or near to the best every week to be involved in the 17, which for me as the head coach is a lovely situation to be in, because that means I've got players who are going to be busting the go every week.
Overall, was you impressed with the defence or the way the tries were taken?
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with our defence. No, I thought our defence could be improved, certainly on our right side. They scored a couple of tries down there, so we need to look at that. I thought our kick chase wasn't good enough, although when you've got Rhys Ambry and Corey Thompson returning the ball, they were very good. Yeah, so there's a couple of things there definitely for us to work on, but we've come through relatively unscathed. Ben Eaton got a head knock there, and he'll miss Wednesday's game against Keighley.
That'd be a good work. That'll give you a better idea where you stand with teams around within the championship.
Yeah, again, we'll not use everybody today. We'll rotate the squad. You know, to play two games in 3 days. You know, on the eye pitch and that. So we'll look after the squad. But yeah, we just need another game. And we'll get that, and then we go away for a week. So we're looking forward to that.
The eye pitch gets a mention by the opposition coach, it's got to be said.
Always gets a mention, doesn't it, that eye pitch?
Infamous eye pitch in rugby league. Yeah, it's tough for Super League play teams to play a game on a Sunday and a Wednesday, never mind a part-time team.
Yeah, but I think that Halifax's own preparations have been hit, haven't they, by the interference, I think I would call
council.
It. From Calderdale Council, because they were the ones who called the shots and postponed their game against Huddersfield. It was just ridiculous, that. Surely the host club should have the say in whether a game goes ahead.
Should do, shouldn't it?
Certainly the final say.
Yeah, without a doubt. So yeah, positive things for Halifax to build on it in their draw, and they'll be hoping to continue from where they left off last year, won't they?
They will. Was it a full team that Halifax played? You know, I'm thinking of the likes of your Johnson's playing and Mitch Killane up in front row.
Yeah,
and
it was a strong Halifax team. Yeah. It certainly was, yeah.
You know, so they've got some really useful players, and I certainly think that they'll be there or thereabouts. Dare I say it, will expectations suggest that they should do even better this coming year?
Hopefully they will, won't they?
Hopefully so. Maybe not too well. Not when they come up against Lee anyway.
We're out of time on Radio General for a final hooter. We're back again next Wednesday.